In confusion and uncertainty, there emerges a guiding light, a beacon that cuts through the darkness. Welcome to Beacon of Truth with your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Beacon of Truth. I'm your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, and you're listening on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. So great to be here with you, my friends, as always. And beautiful day today. You know, today is one of those days in Oregon where, you know, it makes it all worth it to live here in the Pacific Northwest. You know, everybody talks about the rain, but you know what? We don't have, you know, the wildfires that you hear sometimes. You don't have the tornadoes or the tsunamis or the hurricanes or those things that people have to deal with in other parts of the country. You know, every few years or so, there's like a little minor earthquake or something like that, but no biggie. You know, but it does rain a lot. But this time of year is just absolutely gorgeous outside. It's like the perfect day. You know, sunny, hardly a cloud in the sky, not much humidity at all. It's just absolutely spectacular out there today. So I was particularly in a good mood doing the walk today, praying the rosary, and it was just a great day just to be alive. Well, today, my friends, we're continuing our discussion of Magnifica Humanitas, the greatness of humanity, the magnificence of humanity, our Holy Father, Pope Leo XIV's first encyclical letter on artificial intelligence. You know, a great document by the Holy Father. And so we're going to be continuing our discussion of that document. Now, again, we're not going line by line through the document. We're going to go through the document, just pull out some major themes that the Holy Father is trying to share with us about, again, not rejecting advances in technology, not changing, inventiveness and that kind of stuff. But how do we not lose our humanity, that we lose our soul, or lose ourselves for the sake of the technology? We become so reliant on the technology that we in a sense, lose our humanity. So it's about finding that balance there. So we're going to dive into the document today. So very excited to talk about this. Of course, look forward to hearing from you today as well. Give us a call today on Beacon of Truth, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. If you are outside of North America, dial 1, then 205-271-2985. You can always email us at beacon@ew10.com. You can even text your question or your comment to 1-833-288-EWTN. That's 1-833-288-3986. Just give us your first name, how you're listening, followed by your brief question or comment. Remember that message and data rates may apply. Well, today is also the, I would say feast day, but technically it's not a feast day, but it is an obligatory memorial. But, you know, we can always, you know, kind of colloquially say the feast of a great American saint, Saint Kateri Tekakwitha, the first Native American saint, and the daughter of a Mohawk chief who was a pagan and a Christian Algonquin mother who shared her faith in God with her daughter. You know, and so Kateri grew up in upstate New York, but her life was riddled with hardships. She was orphaned at the age of 4. Both her parents died from, I forget if it was smallpox or some kind of disease. Smallpox. Yeah. And she had it, but she survived, but she became disfigured and partially blind because of the smallpox. And she was persecuted in her village because of her faith in Jesus Christ. I mean, you can already see the parallels here, right? You know, so here is a young woman trying to live her faith and being persecuted because of her faith in Jesus. How many of us, simply because we're not afraid or embarrassed to share our faith, where we have come under fire, under ridicule, under scrutiny, under criticism from people who don't know Jesus or who don't care? Or who worship the God of the culture, you know. So we definitely share that with her. And so she decided to live at the St. Francis Xavier Mission near Montreal, Canada. She received her first communion there on Easter Sunday at the age of 21 years old and began to live a very devout Catholic life. She often went to Mass twice a day, fasted several times a week, and practiced stringent bodily disciplines, as many of the saints do as well. The great delight of her life was prayer, especially prayer before the Blessed Sacrament. She had a powerful devotion to our Lord present in the most blessed sacrament of the Eucharist. She led a simple life and remained faithful to her love for Jesus, to prayer and to Mass. And her greatest wish in her life was to know and to do God's will in her life, to do what pleased God, not how she looked in the sight of other people, but what made God happy. That's awesome. So she lived a life with a faith and purity. She was unfailingly gentle, humble, kind, had a great sense of humor that won the heart of many other Native Americans, who some of whom became Christians as well. And she also took a private vow of virginity. So she wanted to give herself totally to Christ, body and soul. She died quite young. In fact, it was the year before she died that she consecrated herself to Jesus through the Blessed Mother. And when she was 24 years old, she became ill and died. So some of these amazing saints died at such young ages. Saint Thérèse of Lisieux, for example. And others that have died young. And when she, again, 24 years old, and she died with the names of Jesus and Mary on her lips. She's a great example of someone who loved their faith so much, she was willing to be hated because of it. She was willing to be persecuted. Now, she wasn't looking to be persecuted, but she did not back down simply because people did not understand how much she loved Jesus and devoted her life to him. So her life challenges us to never take our faith for granted and reminds us that peer pressure and conforming to societal norms is never an excuse for not living our faith with passion and conviction. Let's look to St. Kateri, maybe say a prayer of intercession for her, for us today through her, that her faith may help us to enliven and strengthen our faith, especially our courage and resolve to stand up to the truth and beauty of our faith. I know some people that stand up for their faith every single day. The people that help bring you this show every day. I'm talking about Matt Gabinski, who will be screening your calls today, Michael McCall and Pedro Quiles, who help us out on social media, and our producer, Ace McKay. Ace, how goes it today, my friend?
It's good, man. I think I found the trifecta, the moment that you know God is really looking out for you. And this is going to seem so ridiculous, but I thought of you when it happened. I was looking for a mechanic to do some repairs on my car. So called, got the quotes, found the one with the best rate. Got there today to drop off the car, and the guy, I handed him my keys, and one of the things I have on it is a quarter inch plug that you would use for like plugging in a cable to an amp, and I use that to hang my keys on the wall. I have a little fake amp,
cool.
So that's how we keep our keys organized. Anyway, so I give him my keys, and he goes, oh, so you're a guitar player. I go, well, bassist, but drummer first. And he was like, okay. He's like, you any good? I was like, well, I've been playing since I was 15. I hope so. And so he laughed. He goes, come here. I want to show you something. He takes me down the hall of this garage. I've never been there before in my life. I don't know this guy from anything. Every office had at least two or more guitars in every office. Then we walk into the actual physical garage where my car is getting the work done. And there's three drum sets and a percussion area all set up, ready to go. And I was like, what's this? He goes, every Thursday night, we jam. He's like, you want to come jam with us? I was like, absolutely.
Wow.
So I got some new musician friends and a mechanic in the process today. And my car fixed. So
how about that? Well, wow.
What are the chances?
Well, see, that's the thing. In God's divine providence, right? You're trying to choose and decide, and you do all the evaluation, and you end up with this one, you know, and it's the one that God wanted, directed you toward.
Yeah.
You know, obviously, because the musical connection, that's awesome.
It was just one of those things where I was like, all right, Lord, I see you. I hear you.
I never heard anything like that before. That's awesome.
I mean, how think about the non-musicians that are going to drop their cars off and they see all these drums, you know, it's like, are we here for music? Are we here for repairs? It's a little bit of everything.
You know, entertain you while we fix your car.
Live bands while you get your car worked up.
All right. Magnifica Humanitas, the Holy Father, Pope Leo XIV's awesome document on artificial intelligence. That's our discussion today, 833-288. EWTN 833-288-3986.
All right. This has got that FIFA energy.
Oh, yeah, it does.
Down to the Final Four for the World Cup. Who knows?
Oh, yeah. Who were the last team?
I knew you were going to. I know England and Spain, and I believe France, and I cannot remember the fourth team. But
okay. I know Brazil's usually pretty good, but
yeah.
Again, I don't.
I'll have to look it up. I saw it like 3 days ago, but I, at this point, I'm pulling for England because once USA was out, it's like I got to have somebody to root for.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Are they one of the ones maybe expected to win?
I mean, at this point, I think it's anybody's game. But, yeah, the cool part is I saw a statistic. They were the four that are left are the four that were predicted to go this far. So I would say at this point it is down to anybody's game as to who's going to walk away with it.
All right. I like it. Sounds good. I'm Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, listening to Beacon of Truth. And today we're continuing our discussion of our Holy Father, Pope Leo XIV's awesome encyclical letter, Magnifica Humanitas, on the magnificence of humanity. It's safeguarding the human person in the time of artificial intelligence. Awesome. I mean, if you've been listening to the show for a while, I remember me saying that I was hoping that the Holy Father's first encyclical would be on something like this. That was kind of the speculation. And sure enough, he came out with this document. I think it's very well done. And I think it finds a great balance. You know, again, not rejecting modern advances in technology and things that create efficiencies for us and makes life easier. I mean, who doesn't want something like that? That's fine, but not at the expense of losing ourselves and losing our humanity. So that's what we're talking about today. We're diving into the document and we'd love to hear your thoughts and comments about if you've read the Holy Father's encyclical or if you have thoughts about artificial intelligence and the mingling with our humanity and incorporating that more and more into our lives. Maybe some of the challenges and some of the dangers, the good things, and maybe some negative things that will occur because of the embracing of this kind of technology. We'd love to hear from you today. Give us a call, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986.
Lots of reasons to celebrate this summer, and today, Divine Mercy Broadcasting with 7 stations serving Washington State have been on the air for 13 years. So congratulations now that they're officially 13. Here's to 13 more with Joe and Michael and the whole team at Divine Mercy Broadcasting. Congrats from all of us at EWTN Radio. And also to let you know, France, Spain, England, and Argentina are the Final Four. So,
oh, okay. Awesome. Well, just a quick announcement here. As you know, Father Chris Alar and I are good friends, and we've been wanting to do something together now for a while. We went on pilgrimage together a few years ago, but we wanted to do something closer to home. And so we're going to be leading a retreat together. It's a contemplative week-long retreat from September 2nd to September 9th. At the Immaculate Conception Retreat Center in Putnam, Connecticut, which is kind of between Hartford, Connecticut, and Providence, Rhode Island. Again, a week-long retreat with myself and Father Chris Alar will be leading the retreat, a contemplative retreat. It's really designed, really, honestly, it's designed to go deeper into the things we talk about on our show here, Beacon of Truth, to deepen our relationship with Jesus Christ through reflection, prayer, silence, community, and provide an opportunity for spiritual renewal and transformation. So we're going to be having adoration and mass every single day, Lectio Divina, Rosary, Stations of the Cross, veneration of relics, and even a trip up to the Divine Mercy Shrine. So if you're interested in joining us, again, that September 2nd to September 9th at Immaculate Conception Retreat Center in Putnam, Connecticut, go to marian.org, marian.org, and then /contemplative pilgrimage. So hopefully you can join us. It's going to be an awesome week, again, with myself and Father Chris Aylar. All right, Magnificat Humanitas. We're diving into the Holy Father's awesome encyclical letter on safeguarding the human person in the time of artificial intelligence. Now, again, as I mentioned earlier, we're not going to walk line by line through the document. We're going to take a look at each section and pull out some major themes and kind of see what the Holy Father is trying to say to us in finding, again, embracing the technology without losing our humanity. And so just like many encyclical letters, in the encyclical letters get their names, or made, actually most of the major documents of the church get its name from the first line, from a sentence, from a phrase within the first line of the encyclical letter. In this case, the first line says, humanity created by God in all its grandeur. So Magnificat Humanitas, the grandeur of humanity, the greatness of humanity, the magnificence of humanity. This, you can translate that word different ways, but it comes from that first sentence. Humanity created by God in all its grandeur is facing a pivotal choice, he says, either to construct a new Tower of Babel or to build the city in which God and humanity dwell together. So right from the start, he's saying that we're kind of at a crossroads when it comes to this embracing modern technology today. We can become a Tower of Babel, and we all know the story of the Tower of Babel. That's when the people thought that they can build a monument to God, because they were God. We could reach God. Look at how advanced we are. We could reach God. They started to build a tower, not again directing everything toward themselves. I am the center. Instead of God being the center, I'm the center, you know. And so we can, and when we do that with modern technology, we have maybe have a tendency to exclude God, to forget about God, because look how advanced, look at the technology that I'm able to develop, how humanity is able to develop. We don't need God. We have technology. No. Okay. So we don't want that. So he goes, you know, we have that choice, or we can build a city in which God and humanity dwell together. Right. So that's kind of the choice that we're facing today. And so, you know, each generation, the Holy Father says, you know, has this opportunity to look at these issues. Because he goes back later on. Basically, he goes back to the Industrial Revolution and, you know, how back in those days, right, the early 20th century, how modern technology, I put that in air quotes now, because, I mean, you look at it, it's almost laughable when you think of, you know, the manufacturing, for example, the car, right, and assembly lines and factories and generating, you know, instead of doing things by hand, machines creating things for us and creating all kinds of efficiencies and quicker ways to travel, more effective ways to communicate, every house having lights instead of candles and all these kinds of things. And I can imagine what they thought back then. Look how advanced we are. It's laughable compared to where we are right now. And you know, who knows? Maybe 100 years from now, they're going to be laughing at us, you know, with some of the technology, things they're able to do, you know, 100 years from now. So every generation, you know, should kind of take a pause and look at, okay, we have this technology, which is great, helpful, efficient. We don't reject it. But what does this mean? That's the question we need to be asking. What does this mean? You know, and we can't let that question go to the side, you know, because for us as believers in God, we believe that there is a what's called a teleology. There is a God has a purpose, a reason, a meaning for why things exist. There's a purpose for the existence of things. There's a meaning. It's pointing toward and directing us towards something. Or in our case as Christians, someone. Deep, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. So everything that God gives us, including the ability to think and to create and to invent, even the technology itself, those are wonderful things in and of themselves, but they're supposed to direct us toward, ultimately toward God, without losing our humanity or stepping on other people or looking at certain groups of people as not worthy to have this technology for themselves because they're not the same color or class or financial status, whatever it may be. So these are the questions that the Holy Father is directing us towards so we don't forget to ask these significant, important questions in the face of such fast technological advancement. Just think about this. When I started college, we still used electronic typewriters. This was 1984, my freshman year in college. My first papers that first semester were done still on electronic typewriters. It wasn't until we came back second semester, January 1985, we had the very first computer labs, and they were all Macs. That's when the first Macintoshes came out. But you look at that now, and look at that. Again, that's from 1984 to now. Everything runs on computers. Technology is just, leaps and bounds. Think about it. We had CDs, and now even they're obsolete now. That fast. You know, things are moving so quickly. So we can't, so the Holy Father is inviting us to stop, take a breath, and ask some significant questions as we continue to embrace this technology becomes a more important part of our life. That's what we're talking about today. Magnificat Humanitas, the Holy Father's encyclical letter on artificial intelligence. We'd love to hear from you today. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. David is calling from Denver, Colorado, listening on Sirius XM 130. David, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Hello.
Yeah, great to hear from you today.
Thank you. I just have something to piggyback on what you're talking about a little bit. I'm a coin collector and have been for a long time, and I acquired an 1854 graded by PCGS Pope Pius the Ninth Scudo. It's like a silver dollar, and it's got a very unique circular toning pattern right on the Holy Father's collar. And I couldn't figure it out, so I went on some community forums and was asking some questions. Within like 7 days' time, there's AI just kind of blew it up, and it became the coin of the Immaculate Conception. And most of the articles that then were printed and written out there on the internet were really false. They just took the ideas from the coin forums, which are kind of incorrect. And so it can lead you down to some dark places that might not be the truth. You kind of need to be careful what you get into.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, David. And this is a part, I think, what the Holy Father is saying, that, you know, we can't rely so much on technology that we put aside, the human intellectual tradition where we research. For example, there are a lot of college students who are using AI to help them write papers. Like for me, I'm starting a doctoral program next month, actually. And so I may use AI to here are some resources that use research, but I'm not going to have AI write anything for me. I'm going to use it as a tool. But again, we need to even fact check the AI because they're pulling from sources, as you so correctly point out, David, that may not be accurate. So we don't want to base decisions that we're making on information that is not accurate and correct. So a great warning there. All right. The Holy Father's encyclical on artificial intelligence, 833-288-3986. We'll be right back. that guitar riff reminds me a little bit of a Green Day kind of vibe.
Yeah, for sure. There was a discussion on one of the drummer forums that I'm on, and it said, describe your playing in one word. And I just put pocket.
Drummer, that's it.
Why be anything else, you know? I'm too old to be the wild drummer. I used to be, but those days are gone. I'm the chill now.
You know what I appreciate, and I was thinking about this on the walk today, music, as I was listening to a lot of Rush. Some stuff that I haven't heard from them in a long time, just inspired by the videos I've been seeing about, you know, the tour that they're on now and stuff, you know. And one thing I was listening to with Neil Peart playing is the dynamics.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, you hear these songs, and we talked about this before, I'm going back and listening to songs that I've heard my whole life, but now listening to them differently.
Sure.
Instead of focusing on guitar or vocal, which I used to do, because I was learning a song, you know, there was no tab, there was no internet back then, so you have to listen and try to figure out what they're playing, or learn to sing by imitating the singing the different harmony parts. So now I'm going back listening to maybe subtleties that I missed, and one of them was drumming. Mm-hmm. So that's what, and that's led me to Drumeo and some other things, and really appreciating the drummers. And what I like about Neil Peart is the dynamics. Like one song he was playing, like the bell part, where he's doing the ride cymbal, playing that the bell part at the top of the cymbal.
Yeah,
you know, which is a different tone than a regular like ride cymbal thing. If you're playing like at the edge of the cymbal or something like that, and what he's playing. Like the choice of 16th notes or something like that, that's accenting what he's doing on there. I'm like, whoa! I mean, it's just blowing my mind now, you know. And I think, and I was connecting that with our faith. Sometimes we got to look at the dynamics of our faith. Those little things that we often don't pay attention to could often make the biggest difference, particularly in relationships.
Yeah.
You know, those little things, the little courtesies we give to our spouses, right? The little words of encouragement for our children. You know, pointing out something to someone, you know, that maybe may make their day, that you know, little things like that often can make the biggest difference. The dynamics of our faith.
Yeah, because it's also the same way on the other side. It's the little things that can oftentimes drift you further away from God, and you don't realize how you got there. But it was those little things over time that you just slipped into habits or patterns or whatever you want to call it, and you're like, wow, this is not where I expected to be.
Yeah, and you know, and that is the church calls virtue, right? So you're building these habitual things over time.
Yep.
And the idea of building virtue, and this is something I want to talk about when we talk about an upcoming show on the Beacon of Truth playlist. We're going to be, I think about a month from now or so, we're going to be looking at Free Will by Rush. Funny enough, I was just talking about Rush. What is actual freedom? What does it mean to be truly free, authentically free? Looking at this dynamic, then I think part of what we have to realize is that as we're journeying with God, there are people in our lives, there are experiences that we have that as we're building virtue, you know, these habits that lead us all toward Christ. And there's all these different things that happen, people that we meet, experiences that we have that play into the dynamic or the rhythm of our faith, the patterns of our lives, you know, that build up those habits that lead us ultimately closer to God. And now we'd like to see young people do that, right, as teenagers or young adults. But it seems to be happening a little bit later. With the advent of the technology, of the experiences, that was almost delaying.
Yeah.
Or we have to think about virtue in a different way in the light of technology. So it's almost a different. It's the same principle, but a different way of experiencing. Which is why I think the Holy Father's encyclical letter is timely and important for us.
Yeah, because we have to be careful not to create our own prisons. Like we can say, we can say we have a relationship with God and we're free from our sins, but then we've created a pattern of codependency or, you know, whatever it might be that we think is ordained by God, but not necessarily. We have to set boundaries. We have to set the things that do not get in the way of our relationship with Him, because anything, the smallest of anything that gets in the way of Him, keeps us from hearing from Him, acting accordingly, keeping good habits, all of that.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I'm Deacon Harold Burke, series listening to Beacon of Truth. And today we're continuing our discussion. Actually, we're just looking at the introduction. Again, we're not going line by line, but we're going to go through each section of the Holy Father's encyclical letter, Magnifica Humanitas, Pope Leo XIV's document on artificial intelligence, on safeguarding the human person in the time of artificial intelligence. Today, we're just looking at the introduction. Again, just kind of giving an overview of how the Holy Father is framing this encyclical letter in his discussion about the balance between embracing technology, specifically artificial intelligence technology, and the human person. And would love to hear from you today. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986.
Great habit to get into, and it's the little things that go a long way with Bible in a Year, something you can do here with EWTN Radio. Of course, Father Mike Schmidt giving that to us tonight and every night, 10 Eastern, EWTN Radio. And again, you don't have to think about, well, it's the middle of the year, I have to play catch up. No, no, just start here. This is your January 1. And then just go moving forward. You'll catch back up. But check it out, of course, right on at the Catechism of the Year and Bible of the Year, 10 Eastern tonight with EWTN Radio.
All right, my friends, we're diving headfirst into our Holy Father, Pope Leo XIV's first encyclical letter, Magnifica Humanitas, on the magnificence of humanity, on safeguarding the human person in the time of artificial intelligence. And would love to hear from you, too, your thoughts on artificial intelligence and the connection between artificial intelligence and the balance with that in humanity. If you want to point out, maybe you've used AI technology in your job, in your personal life. And maybe you want to talk about some of the impacts there, some of the good things, and maybe some of the warning signs that you've seen in yourself in using this technology. We'd love to hear from you today. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Remember, you can always text us as well to 1-833-288-EWTN. That's 1-833-288-3986. All right, so as part of introduction, Pope Leo goes back to his predecessor, Pope Leo XIII, who wrote probably one of the premier social encyclicals in the life of the church, Rerum Novarum. You know, it was written in way back in 1891, and this is something that I studied in graduate school, you know, and this was kind of the first major social encyclical letter by a pope, and he was looking at the society in light of the advancing technology that were happening even back then in 1891, Pope Leo, on the 135th anniversary of that document, releases his own document that looks at the technology of our lives today. And he pointed out that his predecessor, Pope Leo XIII, was responding to technological advancements with realism and wisdom, saying that the proclamation of the gospel, of the good news of saving faith in Jesus Christ, cannot overlook the concrete lives of people. So as the technology advances, you know, we can't run roughshod over people or put people to the side or see certain groups of people as less or not worthy of the technology, you know, because we're the elite. We're the ones who are developing this. We're the ones who are benefiting from this. You know, this should be a thing where everybody, every human person is benefiting from the use of technology, including artificial intelligence technology. There are people now who don't have access to AI, who don't have cell phones, who are not using it on a regular basis. And so what we don't want to do is marginalize people and push them to the side and say, well, you're not in our clique. You're not in our part of our select group because you're not part of the AI community. We don't want to do that. What we hopefully want to do is use that technology to bring people up. Look at the pattern of what Jesus did, what God did, right? God the Father sent his Son to elevate humanity to himself, right? To make us like, what is it? St. Athanasius, small g gods. You are, in fact, Psalm, uh, So it says, you are gods, which would obviously with a small g, to elevate our human nature, to become more like, become more godlike. Not God, of course, but to become more godlike, to bring us into a deeper understanding. So technology, if technology can help us to do that without leaving anyone behind, then more power to you. So he says today, the social doctrine of the church is a legacy of wisdom, right? So the church's social doctrine, as it unfolded over the last century, you know, we find principles for thought, criteria for discernment, and for judgment, and outlining concrete guidelines for action, right? I love that. So, and of course, all these social principles are founded on the foundation of scripture and tradition, sacred tradition. With the engagement of the sciences, helps us to interpret the challenges of the present day and identify appropriate ways for living out a clear Christian witness with joy and in service to the world. That's the key. In service, not in service to ourselves, not in service to the elite, not in service to people who can access the technology, but the benefit of all. How can we bring our brothers and sisters up? You know, not leave them behind, but bring them up with us. How can technology help us to do this? How can artificial intelligence help us to do this? You know, yes, it's great for creating shortcuts, creating more efficiencies, you know, spending less time. You know, so we got, you know, again, if we're using technology to help us spend more time with our families, the people that we love, so that we, you know, so that we don't have to spend time like doing things that the AI can do, I think that's a good thing, you know. But we can't rely on it so much that we are willing to give ourselves over to the technology. We rely so much on the technology that we won't even, we just accept it and embrace it without criticism, you know, without looking at how this is going to impact not only my life, not only my family, but my faith and the good of society as well. These are the questions that Pope Leo wants us to be thinking about and asking. He talks about this in the introduction. These are the bigger questions that we need to be asking as we're embracing and utilizing artificial intelligence technology more and more into our lives every day. And again, you thought the transition from CDs to downloadable technology, you know, streaming, you thought that was fast. You know, I think this movement with artificial intelligence is going faster than that now. You know, from the time I first heard of AI, it's like in everything now, from emails, even in cars now, they're building it into computers and cars are using artificial intelligence. You know, I know radio stations, including Catholic radio stations, are using artificial intelligence to create advertisements. I know musicians are using it for production quality and things like that. So again, not necessarily a bad thing, but we don't, and I said this over and over again, and I think the Holy Father also brings this out, we don't want to lose human creativity, human imagination, human subjectivity, you know, to the technology, because as great as artificial intelligence is, it doesn't have a soul, right? I've heard they're using artificial technology, programming it to make decisions, without consulting a human being first, or, you know, it's turning itself back on when someone shuts it off and things like that, kind of pointing toward Terminator kind of stuff, you know, if you're familiar with the movie, you know. So again, I think the Holy Father is exercising great judgment and prudence here by saying, you know, let's not reject the technology. We're not saying that at all. We embrace it, but we need to ask some deeper questions here. And that's what he's kind of outlining in this introduction to the document. He says, new technologies open up a horizon extending in directions that are imaginable, but not yet fully predictable. So I think about, we're doing things now that even, like I said, when I first got to college, I mean, the way the technology is advanced, never would have even imagined that that we'd be doing some of the things that we're able to do now, some of the technological advances that we're enjoying right now. You know, even in church, right, you can, instead of doing the passing the basket around, you can now go online and make a you can have your monthly donation to the parish taken out electronically, you know, so you never have to, you know, go into your wallet or write a check or anything like that. I mean, I can't it's funny. I can't even remember the last time I wrote a check. I'm trying to think, was the last time I wrote, I had to, gosh, I had something I had to pay by, I don't know what it was, but you can do most of payment online now. But so again, that's great. It's creating it. So instead of taking the time to write a check, put it in an envelope, go to the post office, boom, you pay online, you're done in 5 minutes. That's great. You know, because one thing that I appreciate with regard to technology is how it frees up my time. Because now I can spend more time with my wife. I can spend more time in prayer. I can spend more time writing. I can spend more time preparing for this show and all the other things, because technology has made that easier, and that's great. You know, but the Holy Father says this embracing of technology, you know, we have to look at the potential impacts and the long-term effects it may have both on the dignity of individuals and the common good. You know, so it's not just what can this technology do for me? How can it benefit me? What are the effects that this technology has on the dignity of individuals and the common good? Right. So I think that's the major thing that he's trying to share with us in the introduction to his document on artificial intelligence. Of course, would love to hear from you today. Your thoughts on the Holy Father's encyclical, or maybe your experience with artificial intelligence. Maybe you've got some, you know, the last time we talked about this, someone called in and talked about how it actually brought them closer to Jesus, to the point where they're going to be joining the Catholic Church. And it was just asking some questions with AI that brought this. So there's some good things that happen with AI. In fact, Father Spitzer, someone told me about this and I downloaded it. He has an app called Magis AI, you know, so it's like a Catholic AI app where you can ask questions about the Catholic faith, and it pulls up all kinds of facts and information about the Catholic. I think, again, anything that can help us learn more about our faith, bring it close to Jesus, and then this is like an AI-generated app that Father Spitzer, you know, develop, which I think is wonderful. Again, that's one thing, but these other technologies that are not faith-based, that's why we need to stop and ask these important, bigger questions. Would love to hear from you. Give us a call, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. If you're not in North America, we'd love to hear from you. Our friends down under, in Australia, or in the Middle East, or in somewhere in Asia, or in the continent of Africa, give us a call, 1-205-271-2985. All right. So he talks finally in the last part of the introduction. He says, in recent years, it's become increasingly evident how rapidly and profoundly digitization, artificial intelligence, and robotics are transforming our world, to say the least, right? I mean, even in high school now, there are robotics clubs, you know, and you look at the things that that robots and robotics are able to do. Again, getting to the point, robotics combined with artificial intelligence, you know, creating the next generation of robotics, next generation of robots. Like, what is that move with Will Smith, I, Robot, right? Where they developed this robotic technology incorporating AI. So it's like a walking Alexa, or a walking, you know, just walking around your house, helping you do things and stuff. You know, that's, you know, that could be on the horizon, you know, the way things are moving now, you know. And so even then, you know, we need to start looking now. Not 10 years from now. We shouldn't be, what I love about what the Holy Father is doing here, it's not like, well, let's wait till the technology happens and then figure out. Now, that's the problem, I think, with the church in general. We sometimes come from behind. You know, things happen and then we issue letters or then we issue a statement after something has happened. No, we should be, this is an opportunity for church to be on the forefront, to get out in front of something, right? And ask these deeper spiritual questions so that technology doesn't destroy who we are, made in God's image and likeness.
Yeah, I started, when my wife found out she had a gluten allergy, I was using it for recipes. So like things that we normally would make, just replacing anything, because I didn't necessarily know that gluten was in like so many different things. But it's amazing how easy you can just find those little things to plug, and then you try it, and then you realize, oh yeah, that's a great replacement, or that doesn't work, let's try something else. But again, like you were talking, as it opens up our minds, it allows God to open up our hearts, because never stop being curious about God. He's big enough for any question, anything that doesn't make sense. It's okay. If you're new to your faith, or you know are trying to understand a deeper meaning of what God is calling you to, the more questions we ask, the better we understand. So even though AI is just a computer-generated option, it is at least a starting point to then get you to a place that goes, okay, I need to understand this better. So you go, and then God will guide you to the proper priest, the proper, you know, diocese, wherever you need to be, so that you're getting that deeper understanding and not just leaning on technology to give it to you every time.
And that's the key, the deeper understanding, right? We need to ask, what does this mean?
Yeah.
How is this going to impact my brothers and sisters? These are the things that need to be asked along with the other questions about utilizing technology as well.
Yeah.
You know, and what kind of opportunities are we creating so that everyone has access to this technology? Yeah. Not just an elite group of people with the education and the resources to be able to use the technology. How can, you know, a kid in a poor neighborhood, or someone in a slum area in Mumbai, India, mm-hmm. how can they access technology to bring them out can it give them hope, yeah. to get them out of the situation, and to see if there's something bigger, something greater out there that they can aspire to? I mean, and how can we use this technology actually maybe even bring someone, like identify a talented individual that can be, you know, maybe get a scholarship to go to school, and create a situation where they're not just leaving their country, but coming back and bringing all this knowledge to bear in the lives of real people, that they're in their village or in their town. I think that's the awesomeness, how this technology could be used.
Yeah, amen.
Let's go to Lenore, calling from Michigan, listening on Sirius XM 130. Lenore, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Well, thank you. I had a concern about artificial intelligence. It kind of reminds me of the tree in the Garden of Eden of good and evil that God didn't want people to use, because they would try to become gods themselves instead of paying attention to what God wanted. Also, the evil one, he can inhabit persons or things, and he could inhabit the machinery or the programs, and without the moral compass of humanity guiding it, it could be used to destroy us.
Yeah, I agree. And that's why I think the Holy Father, Pope Leo XIV's document is so important. He's giving us the foundational tools for that moral compass that will steer us in the right direction. Again, he's not steering us away from the technology. I mean, you know, this is something that's, you know, we should, it's already here, and we should embrace it. But as you said, the technology shouldn't be where we think that we're God. I'm in control. Look how great I am. Because when you start doing that, then if we see this throughout human history, you start to marginalize other people. You start to look at someone, another group of people that are less than you, that are not worthy of this technology. Something we want to keep to ourselves. Something we want to monetize. You know, even at the expense of the lives of other people, you know, who knows where this artificial technology is going to go when it comes to things like, you know, abortion, in vitro fertilization, you know, cloning, and all these other things that are very, very important moral issues that we need to look at in the life of the church. And so I think this moral compass is very, very important that Pope Leo is getting us to think about these very, very critical and important issues in the life of the church and the life of our culture. Great call, Nalora. Thank you so much for calling. All right, my friends, tomorrow is Wednesday. You know what that means? Word of God Wednesday on Beacon of Truth. We're taking a look at the readings for the 16th Sunday in Ordinary Time. Again, focusing on Matthew's Gospel this year. Remember, you can stream today's show and all of the offerings on EWTN Radio by visiting Podcast Central at EWTN.com/radio or just simply download the EWTN app. And until we're together again, my friends, may Almighty God bless you, keep you, and protect you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.